Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, folks. I'm coming to you from the headquarters of Ramsey Solutions. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, where we talk about the good, the bad, and the not-so-brilliant things that we do in life and with money. We are reclaiming stewardship. God has a lot to say about money and a lot about living this life intentionally for His glory. Much more about that at stewardship.com. Be sure to check it out. Again, that's stewardship.com. This is your show, America. Phone lines are open, 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. You call in and we will talk. Folks, this is just a treat. I mean, it is such a joy and is so fulfilling to serve you in this way. We're getting so many calls all the way across the spectrum of a stewardship journey. It could be a debt call. It could be a retirement call. It could be something about savings, or it could be something about giving or tithing. And man, it has been such a joy. Make sure you know, man, you can call in or you can email in about any of these subjects, anything that has to do with stewardship at all, anything about money and how that affects other areas of our lives. So make sure you call in and we'll chat. Hey, Joe, welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. How can I serve you?
Hi, Chris. I just want to say congratulations first off on the podcast and the new show. Really excited to see where it's going to go soon.
Well, thank you very much. We're having a lot of fun and we love serving people and we'd love to serve you today. So how can I help you?
Great. So my question is regards to volunteering at church while also trying to pay off debt at the same time. I'm kind of conflicted a little bit. I volunteer about 10 to 15 hours a week at my church. I prepare teachings for discipleship classes for new believers. And just during the week, it takes some time, as I'm sure you know, to prepare a teaching.
Oh, yeah.
It's about 10 or 15 minutes we deliver it. So, but my thing is, I have some debt that I want to get rid of that'll take me longer than normal to take care of it. And I part of me wants to get a part-time job and substitute the time I'm volunteering temporarily to pay off all that debt. Or should I just keep serving at the church? Because it's something I want to do long-term, and my goal inevitably is to go into like vocational ministry too. So I'm just kind of like torn there. I want to get out of debt, but I also love the time I spend there at church too.
Yeah, man, I love the question. And Joe, let me correct your language just a tad. You're not volunteering at church. You are the church.
Yes, sir.
Churches happen because of heroes like you.
Thank you.
I mean, you get in there. I mean, you are the church, and it's impressive. And it talks about all in Ephesians. It talks about equipping the saints for acts of service. Obviously, your church has done that, and you are the church. So you're a hero, my friend.
Thanks.
And I just want to congratulate on that. What's your income?
Probably about $34,000 a year gross. That's before like a tax and a tithe.
Yeah, yeah. What's the debt?
$10,000 right now.
What kind of debt is it?
Student loans.
What are some other options you have besides cutting there? Is there anywhere else in your budget on the income or the outgo that you can cut?
Other places I could cut. There probably are. I probably could cut down my entertainment budget a little bit. You know, spending money on like extra stuff that I could, you know, put off for a while, most likely. I'd have to sit down and see where I can cut it out, though. I do about a $150 a month right now for my entertainment budget, mm-hmm. Like going out with friends or just grabbing something for myself. So I could probably cut that down. I don't know how significant that might be. Like if I can add an extra $50 a month, maybe, or more, you know, rice and beans, So we'll see. I might be able to, if I had like just sat down and looked at it.
The reason why I asked that question is because I think you're underestimating what that volunteering does for you.
Right. Yes.
A lot of times we think that we're doing volunteering, you know, our flesh will tell us that we're volunteering for the church,
mm-hmm.
but it's funny because it is for the church, but it ends up being more for us. It's like you go on a mission trip. You're like, oh, I'm going to help the people of Haiti. I'm going to help the people. And you come back and you're like, I was way more ministered to than they were.
Right.
And I think the reason why I hear this health in your voice and this stability in your voice, I think is because of your involvement in church.
Yeah.
And so I would weigh that out.
Okay.
I wouldn't put too small of a value on what it's doing for you.
Sure.
Even that time of prep, God's stirring your spirit. He's working on you during that time.
Okay.
Now, I'm not telling you what to do. Right. I'm just telling you some things to consider. Another thing to consider, there might be a land in between. Maybe it's your maybe an assistant in that. You're not the lead teacher, but maybe you're an assistant in that class, mm-hmm. or maybe you're doing something that doesn't take as much hours of prep, but you're still involved in the church, ministering to people and loving on people and touching real pain. Maybe there's a land in between, and then you cut back a little bit in some other areas, or maybe get creative there. But one more principle to throw out there, and this is for our listeners as well, is sometimes you have to, the best addition is by subtraction. So you could actually take away, if you knew it was very temporary, I mean, you want to knock out this 10K in less than 4 months. Sure. You just want to go get an extra full-time job, work around the clock, kill it. Because you are now going to be in position, you now can serve 20, 30 hours a week and do more serving for the rest of your life because you don't have the bondage of debt.
Right.
So it's up to you. If it's going to string out to 6, 9, 12 months, I don't think it's going to be healthy. I think that serving is doing a lot for you. So if you do put it on hold, I would make sure you run it by all the people in the church. Mm-hmm. Not all the people in the church, the people that you serve under, and make sure you both pray over it, make sure that there's good communication, and then have a very smooth exit and a very smooth entrance when you return.
Okay.
And just know, have a game plan, just like you budget your finances, which I love to hear. You need to budget your time and budget your volunteering and have good communication along the way. Great question. And thank you so much for serving the local church, the Bride of Christ, God's Plan A.
Excellent.
All right, I got an email here from Kayla. I have a question regarding divorce. I don't like it when emails start this way. This is heavy. I'm very much in love with my husband and think he's a great man, but we constantly argue about money. He literally has no interest in the finances. He has no clue what our debt or our income is. He doesn't even know what our mortgage payment is. He will not help with the budget. He will not pay bills. He uses his cash, then debit or credit card, which he refuses to give up. He has told me he doesn't care about having debt because everyone does and we make good money, end quotes. He is completely apathetic about money. I'm working 80 hours a week and taking care of house to pay debt, but feel like I'm chasing my tail. It's not that we disagree, but that he is not even present. I tell him how important this is to me and that it hurts me for him not to care. I'm seriously considering divorce, but I do love him and want to remain married. I know the Bible speaks of debt and divorce negatively, and I know the Bible speaks of the role of the husband. So do I follow my husband's apathy or consider divorce? Neither. You don't follow your husband's apathy and you don't divorce. I'd say no to the divorce, but I'll say this is not a finance issue. Kayla, this is not a finance issue. This is a heart issue in your husband. This is an apathy issue, and this is a pride issue. Apathy and pride. He's got two major things that are, they're illnesses. They're in his heart. I would encourage you to maybe fall back on the conversations about finances, and when the timing's right, when you have one of those moments with them, when those few times where things are really, you're connecting, that you talk a little bit deeper. How are you doing? Ask him, how's your heart? And not necessarily about you, not about the household. Try to keep things out of it. Ask him how he's doing. How's his spirit? Ask questions about him, not about his actions, but possibly you can find out what it is that's laying behind that apathy. It might even be a strong insecurity. Maybe he doesn't even know how to handle finances. And so acting apathetic or non-interested is his defense mechanism. I would find out what's behind it all first before I give you any kind of plan of action on how to handle it. Find out what it is first. That would be step one. And then Kayla, if you're listening today, I want to encourage you and I want to plead with you that you call in the future and you fill us in on the progress because we want to know how this turns out. We want to walk with you through this. I'm Chris Brown and I thank you for joining me on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Let's go to the phones. Our phone call is from Jacksonville, Florida. So, Alana, how can I help you?
So, I have a question. I actually do pharmaceutical sales, and my job, they compensate me for my car since I don't have a company car. The compensation is more than my car note. So since I'm trying to pay off like all my debts, I'm actually doing the debt snowball right now. I was wondering if the extra money should go towards getting rid of some of my smaller debts first, or if I should put the entire thing towards my car since I put like 1,000 miles a week on my car basically. So I'm running it to the ground.
The quick answer is to put it towards your smallest debt and pay your smallest debt off, and then do the debt snowball and pay off your next smallest debt and then your next smallest debt and move up the scale. Hopefully there's not very many of them, but there's a variable in here. And the variable is, what did the employer give you the money for? They gave you the money for a car, but technically you can say they gave it to you as an employee benefit to benefit you. And the best thing that's going to benefit you is getting out of debt. The quickest way you're going to get out of debt is the debt snowball. However, I don't think it's necessarily fair to just assume that they're okay with you using the money any other way than paying off a car. That's really between you and the Holy Spirit on how you treat that. For me personally, I would want to walk into the HR office and tell them, hey, listen, this amount of money is more than my car payment. They're going to look at you cross-eyed because nobody does this. But you'll know that you did it, and you and God will know that you did it, and He'll bless you for it. But walk in there and say, hey, listen, you know, my car note's only $350 a month, and this is $500. And I know you're giving this to me because the average car payment in America is $486.50. However, mine's not that high. And so there's some overage here. I just wanted you to know that I want to apply this towards my smallest debts. Give them a really good sales pitch on why you want to do it. And they're going to look at you and go, you've got a plan. I'm impressed. Don't just go in and ask a cold question. No, have them. You have a game plan. There's a reason why.
Okay.
Because if you just go in there with a just a basic question, they're going to give you a basic answer. But if you go in there with vision behind what you're doing and that you've got a plan, they're going to be, first of all, impressed that you have the integrity. They're going to trust you more as a staff person. And they're going to be like, shoot, you need to give some financial counseling to the rest of our team. This is incredible. Way to go. So now there is a chance that they're going to say, oh, we're giving you too much. And that might backfire. But God will make up for it, I promise.
Definitely. Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks, Alana. Folks, have you ever wondered what you would do if you just out of nowhere got $300,000? Again, you guys can email in at chrisonair@stewardship.com. But this email comes to me from Eddie. It says, my wife and I are totally debt-free, house and all. Man, that is rare. We are expecting $300,000 soon and are wanting to really do the right thing with these funds. I was wondering if you could help me with good questions to ask each other as we work this out. Well, what a good problem to have, right? I've got some people pulling off the side of the road going, oh my goodness, I wish that was me. $300,000, what would that do? Well, here's what I would say to anybody who received $300,000. First of all, I would give all along the way. I, would, of course, would tithe off the $300,000 all the way in the beginning and make sure I tithe, which is 10%, which is $30,000 immediately to the local church. And before I did any of that, I would make sure I had a plan, the 7 baby steps. And those baby steps are the plan for any situation that you have financially. I would make sure that I had the first 1,000 I would put aside for an emergency fund. I'd put that immediately. Do I have any debt? Let's say I have $60,000 in debt, or maybe I have $30,000 in debt. I would pay that off. Next, I would put 3 to 6 months savings in a liquid money market account, something that you can access it, not as an investment, but as like an insurance, like you're self-insured. It's there if the roof caves in or your air conditioning goes out or something big happens. Then I would start investing 15% of my income and 15% of that $300,000 in a growth stock mutual fund or a Roth IRA immediately. Then I would make sure that college funding is taken care of for my kids. And then after that, I would pay off my house and or I would buy a house with cash, whatever was left. And then I would get creative with how can I maximize this and how can I get some compound interest or how can I make more out of this money? I would make sure I had a plan. And that plan was what I just walked you through, the 7 baby steps. Okay, so that's what they are. They're found at Financial Peace University. You can find more about that at stewardship.com. Again, that's Financial Peace University at stewardship.com. Financial Peace University offers practical and easy-to-follow steps that have helped over 2.5 million families get out of debt and learn how to handle money God's way. You can take Financial Peace University in a local class or as a home study or online. Take the first step towards changing your future with Financial Peace University and visit stewardship.com. That's stewardship.com. Or call us at 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283.
You're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. If you have a question for Chris, email him at chrisonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisonair@stewardship.com. Or call him at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now let's continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
And from Michigan, we have Allison calling in. Allison, how can I help you?
I'm calling to ask about tithing. My husband and I have been tithing faithfully for a couple of years, but we're debt snowballing, and I'm struggling with having a positive attitude towards that and towards the financial burden that it brings. It's hard to see all our friends buying new boats, new cars, and bigger houses while they don't give their money to God. We know it all belongs to Him, but I'm just struggling with having a positive attitude towards doing that.
Yeah, well, I appreciate the honesty, and what you're struggling with is what a lot of people are struggling with but haven't verbalized, and so you've actually just spoken up for a lot of people. And probably the biggest struggle that we have when we wrestle with this is the battle in our mind. We have a finite mind, and we have an infinite God. We see things, we cling to tangible, what we can see, what we can feel, what we can touch. And so the eternal things, they don't seem real at sometimes. And so we have to work really, really hard to bring the eternal into our primary focus and the earthly to our secondary focus. And that takes a lot of intentionality. Let me ask you a few questions and then we'll kind of go from there. What's your household income?
It's about $70,000 a year.
All right. And how much do you owe?
We have right now $18,000 in student loans, and that's it.
Okay. And do you both work or just one of you?
We do. We both work.
Full-time or part-time?
I work part-time. My husband's a school teacher, and when he's home in the summers with our daughter, I go back full-time.
Well, let's start with a verse for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7 talks about a cheerful giver.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that phrase rings in my ears.
I knew that was what the phrase that most of our listeners would resonate with. But let me read the entire passage of 6 and 7, because a lot of times we just say the cheerful giver part. We don't read the whole thing. It says, remember this. It's almost as if that was needed, that we need to remember this. That's oftentimes we forget, right?
Yes, exactly.
It says, whoever sows sparingly, that means Allison also, that also means Chris, that also means all of our listeners, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Meaning if you plant corn, you're going to get corn. If you plant nothing, you're going to get nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And here's what I'm alluding to. I want to ask you, do you believe in heaven?
Of course.
All right. Do you believe in like the streets of gold and the pearly gates and all that?
I believe that we're going to be surrounded by the glory of God, and the rest is just icing on the cake.
That's right. Well, me too. We're in the same boat on that one. And here's the question I would have for you and for all of our listeners, because you're representing a lot of people right now. No pressure. Just kidding. We've got to ask ourselves, do we really believe that if we're trusting Him with our eternity, can we trust Him with our finances? Can we trust Him at His word? Can we trust Him that we're going to get further with His 90% than doing it on our own with our 100%? Do we trust Him? So that's the big wrestle that I would have for you and any of our listeners, is to ask yourself, do I trust Him? Now, sometimes that belief and trust is hard because of this whole finite and infinite thing, and because of this tangible thing that we're a very, all we can, what we see and what we touch kind of thing. And so I just, the way that you combat that is you re-expose yourself to where all this whole tithing conversation started from. So I'm going to give you a little bit of homework, okay?
Okay.
I don't know if you have anything to write down with, but if you can kind of get something real fast. And those of our listeners, I'd like you guys to write these down too. This is some homework. We can't cover it in one phone call, but do some studying. Here's some passages in the Old Testament where it introduces this topic of tithing, which is 10%. And here's a couple passages to write down. I can only go through them once, okay. So hopefully you'll get most of them. Exodus chapter 13, verses 1 through 16. Exodus 23, verses 14 through 19. Leviticus 19, verses 23 through 25. Numbers 28 and 29, those whole chapters. Deuteronomy 16, verses 9 through 17. And that'll give you kind of just bring it to the whole heart behind the tithe, where it all started from. Here's some more passages for you too. Deuteronomy chapter 26. And then it goes into a little bit more detail in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Malachi 3:10 talks us about where the tithe needs to go, more specifically, the local storehouse, the local church. And then this is all confirmed as a baseline giving in the New Testament. Tithing is the starting point in Matthew 23, verse 23. And let me point you towards a resource as well, The Legacy Journey. It's a book that we have. It's found on stewardship.com. It's a great resource for you. It breaks all this down for you about the heart of a giver, the heart of a tither. And I know it's hard when you're looking at everybody around you who's buying all these boats and buying all these cool things, but I'm telling you, the chances are they're either A, not being fully fulfilled and in peace and in God's walk and in the journey, or they're not really buying those things. They're borrowing those things. They're borrowing from a bank. So they're cruising around the lake in the bank's boat. And so just be thankful that you're getting out of that mess. And my last little bit of advice that maybe you didn't ask for is you're making $70,000. It looks like you both have the ability to generate income. I would find somewhere else to cut in your expenses besides your tithe. If you can pay the government their share, and you can pay all these other places their share, of course, your creator, the one that knit you together in your mother's womb, well, we should be able to trust him and believe him that that he will be faithful. And the last thing would be up your income to see if you can pay off that $18,000 faster without taking it from your creator. So that would be my little bit of wisdom for you. Hopefully that helps. And again, The Legacy Journey can walk you a little bit further, and then do some homework and then check back in with us. We'd love to hear from you. Got an email here from Jason from Lufkin, Texas. He says, we have 5 kids, including a foster newborn. We'd love for God to allow us to adopt our foster. But when he gets older, we'll need more bedroom space. We currently have a 15-year mortgage on a 3-bedroom home. The only way we can afford a bigger home would be to get a 30-year mortgage. Any suggestions? Would a 30-year mortgage be acceptable in our situation? Well, Jason, I think you need to analyze what you really want and what that child really wants. Does he want his own room, or does he want your family to live a legacy? Does he want your family to be very, very generous, your family to be positioned to be involved in a lot of ministry, to leave the next generation a lot of money, a legacy of giving and service, or is it another bedroom? And so you got to ask yourself that question. I would say no, not in this situation. It would never be okay. And it's not a sin issue. It's just a wisdom issue. You've done well to this point. You got the 15-year and you need to pay that off. And the quicker that you can get debt-free, the better. If you go to a 30-year mortgage, you're guaranteeing that you're going to be sitting in a lot more debt for a longer amount of time. So no, I would not do that. I would stick to the 15-year mortgage, and I would explain to your child as he grows up the reasoning why. It's because you really, really love him. That wraps up this edition of Chris Brown's True Stewardship, brought to you by Ramsey Solutions. Now, this is normally the point in the radio shows where the show host asks you, the show listener, for your financial support. But we're not going to do that. We're here as a free service. But in order to be able to keep providing this free service, we need you to help by telling your friends and family to, one, listen to the show, two, check out stewardship.com, and three, would you also consider leaving us a review or a rating on iTunes? Thank you so much for helping us spread the word. It's been an honor to serve you today. As always, let's stay connected at Chris Brown On Air on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Today, we have been reminded that God has a lot to say about money. So, until next time, Let's continue to manage His blessings His way and for His glory. God bless you.